It's been an honor. It's been a privilege to have been here with you, to preach to you, to minister to you, to thank you for your love and your faithful support. Magda and I appreciate it. We thank the Lord for you in our prayers, and we remember you as a church and remember the pastors, and we ask that the Lord bless the seed that you've sown and greatly multiply it. We know that you're praying for us, but I ask and pray that you pray more fervently for the city of Łódź. Amen. I pray that you consider, that you Google Łódź, that you Google Map Łódź if you have to get acquainted with it. And I ask you and I beg of you that you have it as a burden of yours, because I need your prayer. We need your prayer. We can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough preacher. I'm not a good enough teacher. I need your help. So I pray and I ask that you help me. In your prayers. If ever there's a church built and established, and a Polish preacher can take my place, it's all going to be the Lord's glory. Because He used me. Open the Bible, please, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 8 is a verse that is very often preached during mission conferences. I think because of that, a lot of us tend to look for a different verse, you know, not to be repetitious. I understand that better men before me have milked everything we possibly can get out of it. So I don't plan on bringing you anything new. That's not my intention. I just want to remind myself and remind perhaps you, and maybe you'll get stirred up of some things that you already know, but we have to refresh our minds, and we have to have what we already have in our hearts stirred up again, and hopefully we can see the Lord calling someone here today. Look what it says in verse 8. He says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Let's pray. Lord, I ask your richest blessing upon your word today. I pray that it'll stir my heart up to be more zealous, more on fire for you. Pray, Lord, that you'll also prepare the hearts of the listeners to receive the word of God preached. I pray that it'll move us and change us and better equip us to be used by you and for you. I pray, Lord, that someone today, I pray that someone this week, I pray that someone soon will give their lives completely to you. Give themselves a living sacrifice to you and answer the call that you've put out for all to hear. And I ask that you'll be exalted and glorified in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I don't know if it's an astonishing thing for you or not that God is seeking people. I don't know if you've meditated on that thought, that God is seeking people. God Almighty, God All-Knowing is searching for a person. He's searching for somebody. And we see it all through Scripture. We see the first question that God ever gave, that God ever asked, was, Adam, where art thou? We see the last and the very last portion of Scripture, Revelation, the last chapter of it, we see the Holy Spirit saying, if anyone will, let him come. Basically saying, is there anybody willing to come? I'm looking for somebody who is willing to come and partake of what I have to offer. And he has something to offer. And I guess we could go into details and have a whole study or have a whole sermon on why he's looking for a man as opposed to a donkey or an ass or an angel or rocks, etc., etc. I think we understand that, so I don't want to go there. I don't want to dwell there. I just want to point out a fact that God is looking for somebody today. Now, I understand, having said that, I understand that the Great Commission is sent out to all Christians. I understand that. I understand that we are all called to go. I understand that. I understand that we all have a responsibility to preach the gospel. But the very fact that God is saying, who shall we send and who will go for us, implies that he's looking for somebody more than generally, than people in general. He's looking for somebody specific. Now I believe that somebody is here today. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that the man that God is calling for is sitting in one of these chairs, and you're listening to me. And the only thing is that we've been putting it off and hoping that call wasn't to you. You know it's true. You know that God has been touching your heart and dealing with you, and you know that you can hear that voice calling to you, but for some reason God is still calling. Now, what I want to say right now, I say it with fear and trembling. I can't perceive, I can't ever see me personally giving up my ministry. Quote unquote retiring. Man, I'm 28, I'm talking about retiring. I can't see it losing. I can't see me losing. Now, things can happen. But the reason I say that is because every mission conference that I've been blessed to be in, I hear the Lord speaking to me. And the preacher is preaching and he's saying, who's gonna go? And I've already surrendered to the mission field. I've already said, I'll go. But I feel like donkey on Shrek. Oh, me, pick me, you know, I, you see, if for some reason I were to quit, it wouldn't take but another mission conference to say, here I am, send me. Because I can hear the voice of the Lord speaking to me. I can hear Him calling me. So, if you don't like me very much, maybe he's a young preacher, maybe he'll give up after 3 or 4 years. I'm sorry. I'm planning on being here for a long time. I hope that I can say, well, this is the 67th mission conference.
Praise the Lord, amen.
If you don't like that, put a helmet on. I don't know. God is looking for somebody specific. I think first and foremost, He's saying, who will? He's looking for somebody who is willing to go.
That's right.
That's who He's looking for.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I get the feeling that God is fed up with stiff-necked people. I get the impression that God has had it up to here with trying to force His children to do something for Him. I get the impression that God is wearied with trying to make His children do His will, that He's just saying, who will I send? Who will be willing to go? I know this might sound cliche, but us parents, we understand that feeling. When I was a little boy, we would wake up in the mornings and my mom would say, "Good morning. I love you." We would be tired and we would say, "Good morning. I can't hear you." "Good morning. I didn't hear you. I love you." "Well, why can't you say that for the first time?" I thought that was the dumbest thing in the world until I had my own children. Oh, now I understand. All right, Mom, now I understand. You see, us parents don't want our children to have to be forced to say, "I love you." There's nothing we desire more than to be sitting down at the table and our children to come up to us and say, "Daddy, I love you." You know, John says there's no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. It's along those lines. You know, we as parents understand that. And as we were told today, this morning, God is our Father. And He's looking for somebody who will willingly answer the call.
Yeah.
He's tired. He's fed up of saying, "All right, I have to force you. I have to mold you. I have to make this ass to speak in order to get your attention." He's just saying, "Is anybody here of a willing mind?"
Yeah.
Not of constraint, but of a willing mind. He says in Corinthians 9, "If I do this thing willingly, then I have a reward." But I'm going to paraphrase it, "But if against my will, then a dispensation is given unto me. Then I'm forced to do it. God is going to take me and He's going to say, 'I want you in Poland. Why couldn't you do it by yourself? Why do I have to make you do it? Why do I have to make you say, I love you?'" He's looking for somebody who is willing to go for Him.
That's right.
Are you willing? Is anybody here willing? That's who He's looking for. He's looking for somebody simply to say, "Listen, I'm willing. I can do it."
That's right.
Now, Brother Lynn pointed out before the meeting, we've seen each other, what, 4 or 5 times maybe, max? I don't know where he got this information from, but he says to me, back there, "Now I know you can't swing a hammer." I don't know. Must be a missionary thing. If you don't know how to swing a hammer, be a missionary. My dad sure can't swing a hammer. Oh, speaking of, no. I'll let it go. I'll drop it. That's wisdom speaking. Are you willing? I didn't ask you, and God isn't asking, are you qualified?
Right.
He'll mold you.
Amen.
He'll fix you. He'll make you perfect. In His own time, in His own way, He says, "Are you willing?" I notice also that He's looking for somebody of faith. Now, it's interesting, we haven't heard very much about this missions conference. We usually hear a lot of it, but not so much this time. We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, God is going to call us. God is calling us to uncertain places.
That's right.
He's calling us right now to places that we don't even know exist.
That's correct.
To countries that we thought are made up by some goofball. And you're not going to understand everything. Not every detail is going to be handed to you on a platter. There are going to be some very dark moments in your life. And he's looking for somebody who can say, I don't know where you're calling me to, and I don't know where I'm going, and I don't understand your plan exactly, but if you call me to go there, then I go because I believe in you.
Amen.
He's looking for somebody of faith. You know, he's calling us to uncertain futures. You know, consider what happened to three young men long time ago in Babylon. They were carried away captive against their will. Probably their parents were murdered in cold blood, carried away to Babylon. They changed their names. Forget your God. Forget your name. Forget your custom. You're gonna serve our gods. You're gonna have our traditions. You're gonna have our fathers as your own. You're gonna worship and serve our king. And they said, not so. And their wicked king built this magnificent statue and image and caused the nations of the world to bow down to it. And he said to those around him, whenever you hear the music play, you fall down and you worship this image that I've set up. And they said, not so.
That's right.
And he threatened to throw them into the hottest fire imaginable. And they said, you throw us in there if you want to, but we will not worship your God because our God is able to save us.
Amen.
You talk about faith.
That's right.
That takes faith.
Amen. Yes, it does.
And, but that's little faith. That's not the highlight of the story. Their real faith was revealed in the next phrase. And if not, you better be certain that we will never worship your God.
Amen.
You don't know if God is going to always protect you. You don't know if God is always going to keep you from harm. You don't know if God is always going to keep you safe and sound as He has me. You know, I've never been hit in my life. Thank you, Lord. Man, but not everybody has that promise. Right, Marco? Well, you stood up and said, I've been beat up. I'm just quoting what you said. He's got an uncertain future for you. And it takes faith to answer that call. So he's looking for somebody who is of faith. He's also looking for somebody who is faithful. You see, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. He's not looking in hired services. He's not looking for somebody to come and do one job for him and then give up. He's not looking for somebody to give him part time. He's looking for faithful men.
Amen.
You can say what you want about my dad. Maybe he doesn't know how to swing a hammer or hit a nail or build a shelf or whatever. But that man is faithful.
Amen.
That man is faithful. And God has used him because he is a faithful man. He's looking for somebody among us who will answer the call and say, yes, I can go. I'll go to Moldova if you want. I'll go to Mexico if you want. Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'm willing.
Amen.
Take me, use me, mold me, do whatever you want with me because I am willing.
Amen.
I trust you, and if you slay me, I will still believe in you.
Amen.
He's looking for someone faithful. Who is a faithful and wise servant, Christ says, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household. You see, Christ is looking for faithful men because he wants to entrust his kingdom to them. And he will not entrust his kingdom to somebody who doesn't endure hardship. Somebody who gives up whenever things aren't going right. Who doesn't endure unto the end. He's looking for faithful men.
That's right.
Is there anyone faithful among us? Are you a faithful preacher? Are you a faithful churchgoer? Are you a faithful Christian? He's looking for you. He's calling for you. You know, the Word of God says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro among all the earth, searching.
That's right.
Where is he? Where is that man of a good will? Where is that man of faith? Where is that faithful man? Ezekiel 22 says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. You see, God is also looking for men of compassion.
That's right.
Because the Scripture says, Isaiah asked the question, how long? And God answered him, and he said, until the cities be desolate. And he says, there's coming a time when I'm going to take man far away. Yeah. We have to understand that God is getting ready to take men far away. God has taken his sword out of... He has a sword in his hand and he is ready to destroy. If you're not convinced, read Revelation. Read 1 Thessalonians. God is ready and he is prepared to take vengeance on those that obey not the gospel. And there is something missing. There is a huge gap between the souls that he is prepared to destroy and consume and throw into the hottest lakes of fire, hottest hell. There is a gap between those people and God. He's looking for an ambassador. He's looking for somebody who will have compassion on those who are about to be destroyed. Fear not him that hath power to destroy the body, but rather fear him who, after he's destroyed the body, can take the soul and throw it into hell. It's a fearful thing. He's looking for people to have compassion. A person, somebody, to have compassion on those that don't know Jesus Christ, who are enemies of God. This is crucial. Because I think one of the biggest problems is that we don't have any more compassion. We've just lost it. Our love, for some reason, has grown cold. Maybe because we see violence. Maybe because we see wickedness every day. I don't know. Maybe that's it. But still, he calls and he says, look, I'm just going to cut the tree down. I've sown it. I've come here 3 times in a row, and I don't get any fruit of it. It's just taking up space. I'm gonna cut it down. But that faithful steward, that faithful husbandman said, Lord, wait. Please, put the axe down. Let me give it one more try. Let me dig around it. Let me dung it this time. I'll try better this year. Let me see if I can make the difference in somebody's life.
Amen.
It wasn't but a year ago. Most horrific news I'd ever heard, I've ever seen, and I ever wish to see. Video. On the website, Fox News. A little Chinese girl walking through one of those narrow alleyways in China. You have stores and shops on either side, and you also have truck traffic coming going through. Little 2-year-old girl wandered off from her mother. And you have surveillance cameras monitoring the street, this alleyway. And you have this little truck driving down this alley and runs over her.
hits her in the front right wheel. Just plump. The driver knew that something was wrong. He felt it, obviously. I mean, you can see through his reaction. And so he immediately stops. And the video shows that this girl is under the tire and she's kicking and she's screaming and she's crying. You can see it on the video. And so this driver slowly goes forward until he runs over her again with the back tires and just crushes her. And here this poor little girl, this two-year-old girl, is just lying, dying in her own blood. And the driver simply goes on, not caring about the loss that he's just created, that he's just caused. Quickly after that, you see another person walking up to it, looking at it, and going his way. Here this two-year-old girl is just moving, dying in her own blood. And somebody who can make a difference stands, observes, looks, and has satisfied his curiosity and goes off. 16 people did the same thing. 16 people walked up to this little girl, looked at her, and went their way. Some of them on bicycles, having a nice ride. What did you see today? I saw a girl dying in her own blood. After the 16th person, you see a second truck come by and run over her again. You understand the suffering of this little girl? Do you understand that this girl is going through hell and nobody cares? The trucker crushed her again the second time, walked by, and three more people walked by before some anonymous lady picked up the baby and dragged her out of the street and placed her up against some of the merchandise that some of the sellers were selling. The problem there was that nobody had compassion on this poor little girl. Let me tell you something. If that doesn't make you sick, if that doesn't disturb you, if that doesn't move you in any way, don't shake my hand. Don't be my friend. I don't want to have you in my company. And I'm absolutely serious. I don't want to become like that. Now, the point is that God is getting ready to crush people under His foot. And Scripture tells us that there is going to be a lot of suffering, and there is going to be a lot of blood, and there is going to be a lot of death. The difference between those people and this little girl is that her suffering ended 2 days later in the hospital. She's, in my book, in heaven now, probably, and looking at it from a scriptural point of view, probably the best thing that ever happened to her. The difference between her and those souls that God is getting ready to crush and utterly destroy is that their suffering will not end when death comes and says, "It's time for you. Your time is up." Now, can you walk by these souls that are about to be crushed and not have any sort of compassion? on some having compassion, making a difference.
That's right, yeah.
You see, we have the means to make a difference. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Word of life. We have the bread of life. We have life in us. And we can give life.
Amen.
But we have to go out of our ways to make a difference. So I only ask one more time. Is there anybody willing? Is there anybody willing to answer God's call? Is there none among us that have faith? I don't believe that. I believe that we are a church of people of faith. God is calling you. He says, where are you? Where is the man? He's not only calling, He's looking for you. He sends people out into the world to look for you. Where is the man of compassion? Where is that man that will say, I will have compassion. I will make a difference. I will go. Where are you? Your captain, your Lord, your King is looking for you. And He sent me to tell you.